Hello everyone, I'm Amol and today we are starting with Sunday Boosters. My attempt to share my experiences or thoughts about some of the legal subjects with all of you in simple, easy to understand formats, which is supported duly with some practical examples and simple language. I also intend to keep the duration of these episodes to the shortest possible time so that I can make it a little bearable. Or if I may say so, likable. So let's get started. One of the first issues that I want to discuss about is about this whole allegation, or rather this whole perception about the in-house legal teams, that they are not commercially oriented. One of the challenges that legal teams always face is that they are not looking at the contracts from commercial point of view. They don't look at the contracts from what they stand for commercially. And they only focus on the boilerplate clauses. They only focus on the legal language of the clauses. They only focus on the legal aspects of a commercial contract. And that's a complaint that commercial teams always have from the legal teams. Now, what does this commercial angle mean? Does it relate to the negotiation of the contract? Does it relate to negotiation on the consideration piece of the contract? Does it only relate to the respective obligations under the contract? Or can there be some of the boilerplate clauses which can also be looked at from the commercial angles? Now, here's a trick. Most of the times we think that commercial angle would only involve the obligations that are to be delivered by the parties to the contract and the consideration part. But no, there are several clauses in a contract which have commercial angles attached to it. And if we as in-house legal team start focusing on those commercial aspects of even the boilerplate contracts, we will add so much more value to the contracts, because then we'll not be inserting those clauses into the contract merely because they are boilerplate and standard template clauses, but also from the point of view of the commercial value that those clauses might bring in. So I want to start off this series with explaining certain very, very peculiar aspects of boilerplate clauses. It may not exactly be the boilerplate clauses, but we just typically standardized, templatized clauses which you will find in every single contract. Say, for example, indemnities, the limitation of liabilities, the bank guarantee clauses, the insurance clauses, or for that matter, confidentiality, non-compete. These are some of the clauses which will find their place in a typical commercial contract, but in a standardized, mundane language which is very repetitive in each of the contract. However, my experience says that one has to be very careful about the language that is used in each of these clauses and look at the commercial angles attached to it. What liabilities can these clauses bring in? What liabilities these kind of contracts are trying to cover in? What sort of future contingencies these clauses are trying to cover in, and then create the language that is actually suitable for the commercial arrangement that two parties are looking in, rather than just inserting them for the sake of inserting as a standard boilerplate clause. Now, let me give you a few of the examples while I'll take different episodes and I'll speak about different clauses in a single episode, but I'll give a couple of small examples. Say, for example, bank guarantees are typically used in a lot of commercial contracts as a protection towards the commercial obligation that one party has towards the other. Now, it's very easy to demand a bank guarantee, but have we ever looked at what all strings, if I may say so, are attached to these bank guarantees? A bank guarantee typically requires a party to keep collaterals with the bank. It's a tripartite agreement between a bank, the and the parties to the contract. So you have to have some sort of collaterals which is backing that bank guarantee. Because bank is giving that guarantee on your behalf, you have to pay certain charges to the bank. Those charges in quite a few cases are typically very high. So you have to keep that in mind. It also blocks your capital because you are keeping collateral to the tenure of the bank guarantee. So that money is blocked for you. You can't take out or use that money in your business. So you have to be very focused that how much of a collateral you are blocking. Also, look at the language of the clause as to what exactly is this bank guarantee trying to cover. Say, for example, if you have certain monetary obligations to be satisfied during the term of the contract, the bank guarantee can be a tool to ensure that you actually go on and satisfy those monetary obligations. But if the other party is insisting on keeping that bank guarantee for certain other breaches also, then you may have to look at the language again, because you probably are funding your own dispute in future through your own pocket. So those are the kind of things which you have to keep in mind. Similarly, indemnity clause. What is indemnity? Indemnity is covering a future loss. What all the things that you want to cover through indemnities? Can you pass on certain things in the form of an insurance? Can you take certain amount as insurance and reduce your liability or prospective liability on indemnities? Do you think that indemnities for representations and warranties and breach of reps and warranties is required? Or do you think that the breach of covenants also needs the indemnities? Or do you think that the normal breach of obligations also needs to be covered by indemnities? All those are sorts of thoughts have to cross your mind when you are looking at a contract, when you are drafting these clauses, and then decide as to whether I am putting in a standard clause or do I need to be very, very focused about exactly what these clauses are going to cover. Another example is survival of certain clauses post-termination period. Typically, it applies to indemnities. Typically, it applies to certain clauses like confidentiality. Typically, it applies to certain clauses like non-compete. You have to be very careful while looking at these clauses. Say, for example, you have certain confidentiality obligations which are going to survive for the period of 2 years after termination of the contract. Now, you'll see, that's fair. The confidentiality can be maintained for 2 years period. And there's nothing about any other clause surviving post-termination of the contract. But as a legal team, as a legal in-house resource, you have to actually look at whether that confidentiality clauses, or rather whether that confidentiality or the obligation to keep confidential information intact is backed by any indemnity. If the contract backs any breach relating to confidentiality by indemnity, then there are all possibilities that courts may infer at a later date in case of a dispute that because the confidentiality obligation survived after the term of the contract, by default, the indemnity to that extent also will survive. So these are some of the clauses which have a lot of impact on different clauses in a contract and needs to be looked at from the point of view of A, what sort of liabilities are going to come to me? B, what are all the clauses which are interwoven with each other and connected to each other? And then evaluate what sort of responsibility or obligation I'm looking at in future. It's all about envisaging certain conditions. It's all about envisaging certain difficult conditions, because typically a contract is signed and kept in drawer, and it is only referred when there is a dispute, and you don't want a slippage when you actually are referring to a contract in case of a dispute. So in next few episodes, we'll discuss about indemnities, we'll discuss about liabilities, we'll discuss about bank guarantees, we'll discuss about confidentiality and their survival and non-compete and such clauses in great detail. And I'll share certain experiences also, share certain examples also, which will exactly give you an idea as to how these clauses can actually come back to you haunting in case of a dispute. Thank you so much. I hope you like it, and we'll meet again in the next episode where I'll talk about indemnities. Thank you so much.